From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome back to the show. My name is Noel.
Our compatriot Matt is on adventures, but will be returning soon. They called me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Ball Mission Control Deck. And most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this stuff they don't want you to know. Today, maybe the biggest thing to start off today's episode with is the following. Celebrities are humans. I think maybe we should end with that too. You know, we're in a culture here in the West where we deify celebrities. They are no better, no worse than you listening now. It's like we took those kind of regional or town deities of ancient Rome and Greece, and then just in their place socially, we put a lot of musicians and actors and stuff, and that means they get more attention than maybe a scientist or a philosopher, an activist. And, whether or not that's just a failure of human hardwiring or whether that's somehow a way that society is purposely designed, that's something for another day. The thing is that celebrities don't always have a rosy existence. You know what I mean? This is something you and I have seen before, Noel. All too often, society will build up a celebrity in one field or another. Only like they'll praise them the way that some ancient cultures would make a sacrifice of a person and give them one amazing year and then kill them at the end of it. Like a lot of celebrities rise and then the same people supported them then take great enjoyment in their fall, like mocking them, attacking them online. And they're not different from you. They're human beings. They deserve the same rights and freedoms that you yourself deserve and should enjoy. So that's why today we are exploring a question many, many of our fellow listeners, including Shannon S. in Savannah, have asked us to cover for some time now. What exactly is happening to pop legend Britney Spears? We're roughly the same age. Nola, do you remember when Britney Spears hit the airwaves? I guess we were kids.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I was maybe just coming into my own personal sense of my body as a young man. And that Hit Me Baby One More Time video really started that awakening process, let me tell you. Sexually suggestive time, especially with a weird kind of schoolgirl crossover thing. And it was like, is she a teenager? Is she an adult? What is she? It was very like, she's got this baby voice and this midriff, and it was just a lot to take in. And that was sort of like the early days of these like Mickey Mouse Club Disney stars being turned into these like massive pop idols. I think we had NSYNC on the scene a little prior to Britney. I think maybe she like toured with them, and she and JT had like been on the Mickey Mouse Club together. But I think that NSYNC broke first. But to me, I was much more aware of Britney Spears than I was NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys even at that point, because you couldn't miss it.
Yeah. So she, it was strange to me because the person's 17, right, when this comes out. And even when that first video came out, I remember thinking,
and we would have been like, what, 13, maybe, like, yeah, you and I, something like that, right?
Yeah. And I was thinking, there's something weirdly off about this. Later, I learned that the schoolgirl outfit was indeed Spears's own idea. And I love that you mentioned Mickey Mouse, because the path to today's conspiracy is, it's a long one. There's a walk we got to take. So here are the facts. Britney Spears is born Britney Jean Spears, December 2nd, 1981, in a town called Macomb, Mississippi. Her parents are Lynn Irene Spears and James Spears, better known as Jamie. You'll read him cited as Jamie. They moved. She spent most of her childhood in a town called Kentwood, Louisiana. She was the middle of three kids. She always wanted to be a performer, and she's talked about it in a lot of interviews.
Yeah, it's interesting too how like so many people from kind of the rural South end up in this like Mickey Mouse Club kind of like world. And it largely has to do with, you know, Disney World being in Orlando, Florida, which is essentially, you know, like slap dab in the middle of like the swamp and very similar and not that far off from Louisiana and Mississippi. And it makes sense. It's like, you know, maybe you would go there before you would go to L.A. And it's a place where a lot of performers got their start as like cast members, you know, or like being in the shows and what have you. And I'm almost positive that's the case with Justin Timberlake. Not quite sure about Britney, but it's just still interesting, that crossover. But yeah, she was the middle child of three and, you know, made a point in interviews later in life when she'd gotten famous that she'd always wanted to be a performer. I know she was on Star Search. You can find footage of her just singing her butt off. And it actually is part of a little conspiracy theory that we might not have to delve into today because it's a little silly. But the idea that that baby voice that she does was forced upon her by the record labels, and the often conspiracy theorists that believe in that point to a video of her as like a 9-year-old just belting it out on Star Search, and that she has this like really deep kind of soulful voice, and that was all just kind of a put on.
Well, castrato are real. That's a real thing that happened. And also I would respond to that one by saying there's 2017 footage of her covering stuff without a baby voice.
That's
maybe
right.
There was A&R pressure, label pressure, but I don't think there was a surgery involved.
Oh, no, wasn't implying that. I think
castrato if you want to ruin your day.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know all about it. And it's basically forced castration for the purposes of raising the voice to sing in these beautiful kind of angelic high registers. But yeah, really very very troubled history there with that. But right. She spoke to the Hollywood Reporter in saying that ever since she was 7 or 8, my mom would have company over and I was always performing for everybody in front of the TV. Even when I went to school, I was always the weird child. I would go outside and instead of playing, I would I wanted to have Star Search competitions. And she got her wish ultimately. But her debut was not on Star Search. It would have been in 1986 when she performed What Child Is This at her kindergarten graduation.
Well received, by the way, from what I understand.
Clearly, a real bravado performance.
So this, let's look at her early rise, some of which you alluded to. So she had, like many people pursuing a career in the arts, she had a lot of swings and misses, right? It's very rare for someone to immediately become a world famous icon and get the entertainment machine and infrastructure's support. In 1990, she auditions for the Mickey Mouse Club for the first time, but she's only 8 years old, which is apparently the cutoff for Big Mouse. So they love her, but they say, sorry, kid, come back when you're older. 2 years later, she's 9 or 10 in 1992 when she makes her first appearance on Star Search. She wins the first round, but I think she doesn't make it past the second round. Year after that, she's 11. She does her second audition for Mickey Mouse Club. She's accepted. And that's where she meets some of the folks we're talking about. Justin Timberlake, Carrie Russell, Christina Aguilera. The show is canceled the next year and Spears moves back home to Kentwood. There's a weird 4-year period between 1994 to 1998. In 1998, this is where we see the breakout. She is signed to Jive Records. She travels to Sweden and records her debut album, Hit Me Baby, One More Time. She's going on concert tours. She's opening for the boy band NSYNC, with whom she, the front man of that, or the guy who would become the front man, Justin Timberlake, they're carrying on a relationship that goes on for about 4 years, sometimes secret, sometimes an open secret, a lot of speculation in the paparazzi. And by January of 1999, her single Baby One More Time has debuted at number one on the Billboard 200. And we can only imagine other people the same age look around at their life and say, dang, must be nice.
Maybe. Yeah, it certainly is. It's something that that folks, you know, will aspire to at an early age until they realize, like, what all goes along with it. And that's certainly what we're going to talk about today. And again, that video was inescapable, like we talked about at the top of the show. I believe it was that TRL era or was that pre-TRL? I think it was pre, but I definitely remember it just being ubiquitous and just like inescapable. And then in May of 2000, she did the thing that all up-and-coming pop stars need to do, and that's host Saturday Night Live. More than just being like the musical act, actually hosting. That's how you know you really arrived. And that same month on May 16th, she releases her second album, which is Oops, I Did It Again.
Great.
She played with your heart. She got lost in the game. You know, she did. And she also released another massively, massively popular album that sold more than 20 million copies across the planet, cementing her legacy and legend as like one of the biggest pop star, you know, on the planet. Arguably, you know, one of the biggest pop stars, icons of all time. Whether you like her music or not, I mean, she was just ingrained into, you know, what you could argue is a little bit more of like a bubblegum kind of pop culture. To me, didn't have the same heft as like Madonna or like even like a Paula Abdul or Janet Jackson. But it was a new era of this kind of Swedish-born, you know, pop by numbers kind of world where we know Max Martin, who produced her first two records. You know, we've done an episode, I believe, on that whole thing, the whole Swedish hit machine factory, where they essentially weaponize psychology to make sure that every little second of the song is triggering your brain in some way to make you continue listening.
Sure. So, it's an Audible app.
It's really
the same thing as a slot machine. It's brilliant. Yeah. Check out the episode on that, please.
It is brilliant, but it's also like, I would argue, a new era of like internet kind of driven music, algorithm driven music, and maybe a little less soul. But that's just my hot take. Then on November 6th of 2001, she releases her third album titled simply Britney. That's a popular thing to do. Like, it's like, it's just me, y'all. It's Britney. Get rid of all the pop trappings. And then on November 18th of 2003, she releases In the Zone, her fourth album. And I'm trying to think, like, I remember Circus. That was a pretty big hit. And then there was that song. She was in that movie, too. She had that movie, like a road trip movie with like her and her girlfriends. And she had Paul. What was that movie called? Paul tells us it was called Crossroads. And then she had that song that was sort of given a second life in the movie Spring Breakers, in the incredible sequence where the masked kind of vigilante sort of characters, you know, with their shotguns and their pink ski masks kind of dance weirdly in slow motion to that song. What was the song called, Paul? Dance weirdly in slow motion to that song called Every Time. I think that was in this period, or might've been a little earlier. Correct me if I'm wrong, Spears fans.
That was a shout out to Paul. I had asked Paul earlier if he wanted to be on mic for this one. And Paul, I respect your decisions, but thank you for jumping in to give us some guidance, even if off mic. So this is where things start to get rocky. As I established before, the problem with the deification of celebrity is in part that it encourages this this fickle, vindictive thing in humanity. We want to see people rise. Want to see ourselves in them, and then we want to see them fall and watch what is sometimes described as a train wreck. So people are staring at this person every moment of her life. She's being followed by paparazzi. Controversies start to arise. Notably, on January 3rd of 2004, Britney Spears marries a childhood friend, a guy named Jason Allen Alexander. They marry at a little chapel in Las Vegas. About 55 hours later, they annul the marriage. And the same year, in 2004, Britney Spears goes on to marry someone else, a guy named Kevin Federline, who I think at the time was a dancer. But we can laundry list some of these. On February 25th, 2005, she is banned from the Oscars. This is the same year she confirms she's pregnant with her first child. People who follow celebrities, you may remember the Oscar ban because Paris Hilton and a couple of other celebrities were involved. The tabloids are awash with reports of child services checking in on the Spears Federline family, cases where the baby has fallen out of a high chair or is seen in a vehicle on Britney Spears, riding in Britney Spears' lap rather than a car seat. And then the next year, things pick up. There's a whirlwind of these unhinged appearances on television. Federline and Spears split and then later divorce. And then that happens 2 months after the birth of her second child with the same guy. And she names her child Jaden. We come to 2007, 2008. And I know we're doing kind of a high level here because there's other stuff we're getting to, but just the background is important. In 2007, 2008, we see one of the most infamous periods of Spears' career. In early 2007, she checked into a rehab center, rehabilitation, and then checked out of it quite quickly. She showed up at a beauty shop in LA. She shaved her head. She attacked Paparazzo's car with an umbrella.
Yeah, and she actually smashed the window too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she went back to a rehabilitation program. She did have a performance on the VMAs that led to a lot of speculation where people were saying, is this person well? She got booked on hit and run charges that were later, for the record, dropped. And then around that time, she also for a time lost custody of her children to her ex-husband. January 2008, she's hauled away in an ambulance after a three-hour standoff with police because she refused to give her kids over to her ex's custody. Multiple psychiatric evaluations. Weeks later, she's taken to a hospital in L.A., and a court declares her father to be head of something called a conservatorship. A conservatorship is interesting. We'll spend some time on this in the show because it is designed for people who are, long story short, somehow unable to take care of themselves.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, there was like a 51-50 hold at one point during this period, which is, you know, code for a psychiatric hold where you're going to be a danger to yourself and others. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, typically we think of a conservatorship as something that would be applied to, say, an elderly parent, where you would need someone to have power of attorney to make, you know, important decisions on your behalf because you've got dementia or any other, you know, incapacitating conditions that would not allow you to take care of yourself. And you want, you know, your caretaker or family member or whomever it might be to provide those legal responses whenever they were needed. So that's, you know, what I would think of. And it's a big bone of contention that this conservatorship with Britney, there's a lot of bones of contention, but the big one that comes up is that it's lasted so long, because it's still in effect today. So, you know, people are wondering, back then we've got this Oscar ban, which is literally because everyone knew about these incidents that she had this hit and run. She was considered kind of like a liability, and you know, the Oscars don't want to make a scene on the red carpet. So that's why she was sort of, for all intents and purposes, canceled in Hollywood back in these early days, before that was as much of a thing. But, so here's the question. People were wondering what was going on with her. Like, is this just a run-of-the-mill case of too much pressure of a child star kind of spiraling after too much money, too much excess? You know, there was talk of substance abuse. Did you see, Ben, was it a particular substance or was it just alcohol? Like, I've never really seen it, you know, zeroed in on what the substance was in question. But I imagine it was just probably a cocktail of things like alcohol and likely cocaine and, you know, all those kinds of things.
Ether, Quaaludes. I'm making that up. No, there's no confirmation. Public documents where I saw I did not see anything other than alcohol and substance abuse. Mm-hmm. So almost any substance can become, you can have an abusive relationship with almost any substance.
Of course.
I've had 8 cups of coffee today and I'm going to have like 4 more because I resent sleep. But you're right. Could one of the world's most successful living pop stars actually have now fewer legal rights than a child? Was she being held in some way hostage? And how could anyone, even a person's father, have that much control over another adult? What happened? We'll pause for a word from our sponsor, and after the break, we'll try to figure it out with you. Here's where it gets crazy. Conservatorship. Freedom and control. There's a little bit of semantic sleight of hand here, because this might be more familiar to people as like legal guardianship, right? You know, like I have to take care of, to your point, Noel, my retired parents who are ailing, not doing that well, something like that. Or I have someone in my family has a mental issue, and therefore they cannot be relied upon to do things that you have to do as an adult, like pay your bills, make sure you're going to a doctor, make sure you're regularly taking prescribed medication, and so on. This is called a conservatorship in California. In other states, you'll hear it called a guardianship, maybe. But what this means is pretty explicit. It means that as soon as this was declared, to the present day, and I've got like breaking news as we record this, Britney Spears cannot make personal or financial decisions without the oversight of that conservatorship, which is going to be the oversight of her father, James or Jamie Spears. And we don't know, to your point about 5150, we don't know. We, the public, do not know the details of what led to this court's decision. It is a legal decision to institute this conservatorship. It hasn't been made public. You'll see stuff on like Reddit or different fan forums where people purport to have photographs of the paperwork involved. And I think that's where some of that 5150 stuff comes from. But there hasn't been any solid evidence about her mental condition or a diagnosis. You'll hear people also say that she was diagnosed with some kind of early onset dementia in her 20s. But again, none of that is confirmed.
Well, she was we were talking about these psychiatric evaluations, and she was placed on a 72-hour lockdown for mental evaluation at Cedars-Sinai Hospital. And that was back in 2008. And that was during the dispute with her ex-husband, and, you know, with the children. But that, you know, it's speculated that that would have been considered a 5150 hold, the medical code of a person being held essentially against their will or with the permission of someone close to them who can vouch for their state.
Yeah, she was on a psychiatric hold. That part is true. We just don't have the confirmation that the court said literally because of – we don't know what they found. You know what I mean? That led totally them to that decision. But we do know there was a confirmed psychiatric hold, and there's a lot of money at stake. This is something – okay, this is something that's going to be important later. So how much is the Britney Spears conservatorship controlling? It controls the Spears estate. So like, how many times did you hear "Hit Me Baby One More Time," right? How many times did you watch Crossroads? Paul, how many times did you watch Crossroads? Paul said 500 times.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I think I probably heard "Hit Me Baby One More Time" somewhere between 60 million and 250 million times.
So if they had a dollar for every time you heard that, just you by yourself, that would be a very disturbing and I find vague estimate of the conservatorship. Right now, that estate is estimated to be somewhere between $60 million. That's the number you'll hear most often. But then you'll hear other wilder claims saying, actually, it's worth $250 million. That's
60
a hell of
seems
a market.
Low. 60 seems low to me based on how famous she is and was and how many hits she's had. But again, like my whole thing, we talked about this off mic, is it's interesting to me that this conservatorship is used in this way, because like I said, I mean, it seems like it's more designed for people who literally can't take care of themselves and are potentially either a danger to themselves and others or just incapable of taking care of themselves, because there's no law in America that says you're not allowed to be stupid with your money. and squander it and be a bad steward of your fortune. And all of this, so much of this, has to do with making business decisions on her behalf. You know, investing her money, giving accounts of her fortune to the courts. All of that seems very financially driven, and I just don't know of any law in the books, especially in a place like Hollywood where we see, you know, rags to riches and riches to rags stories all the time. That part of it makes this really suspect to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would also point out, and this is something I found that should pique your interest, folks, if you're familiar to this story. Another big cost for the estate is the maintenance of the conservatorship itself. So think about that. You know what I mean? Is this a Fox Run hen house? You know,
maintenance we'll meaning there. A salary, right? Like a salary paid out to the conservators.
Multiple. Yeah, yeah. And so there are two people for a very long time that were the what are called the co-conservators. They ran this legal arrangement, which got quite complex with all the money and expenses and opportunities for income involved. The first one was her father, Jamie Spears. And for a very long time, there was a lawyer in the mix. His name was Andrew M. Wallet. Go watch the Brain Stuff video about nominative determinism. Wallet is on the case. And they came down hard on her. Like, okay, if you have ever, in the days of more free travel, a lot of times people who travel for work are familiar with this issue. You go on a work trip, right? And maybe you have a per diem, or maybe they just say, look, you have to take these people out, wine them, dine them, transport them places, transport yourself places, and, you know, get whatever you want within reason, but keep all your receipts. And you have to give us your receipts and then send them off to some accounting department or whatever. Britney Spears was having to do that in her daily life. Like, she would take her kids places, maybe take them to Six Flags. She had to account for those expenses, or like even going to Sonic or something. And because the court required this. And so the conservatorship is keeping an eye on every nickel and dime. The implicit idea here should be said out loud. The concept is that they are saving her fortune from herself. The money that she has earned, which is her money, should not be under her control. Wallet, interestingly enough, resigned last year. And for a long time, no one replaced him. In later statements, though, he said that this conservatorship could last for the rest of Spears' life, and I hope a lot of people are listening to our episode today and popping by Conspiracy Stuff on Twitter, or popping by our Instagram, etc., and hitting us up with the old hashtag Free Britney. That's something you've seen, even if you're not, even if you hate pop music, you've heard about this. It's older than a lot of people might think, too, which is kind of surprising.
It is. Yeah. This is something that like popped up right around the very beginning of the conservatorship, really right on the heels of it. I mean, in 2008 is when she had that very public kind of meltdown situation where she was held in the psychiatric unit and evaluated. And then it was 2009 that the Free Britney campaign kind of came into existence through a fan site called breatheheavy.com. I'm assuming that's a reference to Britney's trademark heavy breathing. It is trademarked, by the way. And this idea that she was somehow being held against her will, not just in a psychiatric hold, but in a much larger and perhaps more nefarious way. The website's owner, a person by the name of Jordan Miller, said at one point that he received an irate call from Jamie, Britney's father, who threatened to have the website taken down. 10 years later, Britney has released three major label albums, appeared quite often on television, including a period as a judge on the singing show The X Factor, and also performed live several times in a residency gig in Las Vegas that she did famously kind of abandon, but that was for health reasons, right, Ben?
Her father had some serious health concerns, and so she dropped the Vegas stuff because, you know, when it comes to, God, I hate the lazy TV writing trope about this, but family is important. So what
is that? That concept comes from TV. I love that.
No, like it's okay. If you see, you'll see a lot of fantastic television shows brought low by a very lazy decision to like make everybody related or to have characters that cartoonishly are saying, look, I know we're saving the world, but the only thing that matters is forget everybody else. The only thing that matters is me talking to this one person I'm related to. I don't mean to sound cynical, but it like ruins shows like Utopia, which otherwise are fantastic. No spoilers. But it is based in a real thing. And what she's doing is very understandable. It's not like it's going to break the bank for her not to be at Las Vegas, right?
No, but a lot of times there's contracts involved with those things. And, you know, maybe there's an escape clause or something like that. But it would be a great financial cost, I would imagine. You'd have to like pay out the promoters and so, I mean, I don't know. Again, these contracts with celebrities of this level are very complicated, and they go through a lot of negotiations and back and forth, and both sides making sure they're protected. But I can't imagine you could just jump ship. You know, it's not like you can have a Britney Spears understudy. Like, I imagine if you've got like a residency, it's probably gonna be pretty expensive to get out of it. But to your point, Ben, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars here, potentially. I would argue, and I think you would probably agree, and listeners too, that these do not sound like the activities of a person that cannot take care of themselves.
I mean,
doing a concert performance like that night after night requires lip syncing or no, which is another discussion entirely, requires stamina, requires good memory skills to be able to like remember all that choreography, physical fitness, discipline.
If you miss a show, you have to make up shows. Like, I would love to see one of those contracts. You're right. There's probably not an understudy. People who pay for these kind of concerts don't want to watch a show with Sydney Breers or whomever the person would be. But also at that level, you know, yes, even if you can take the financial hit, you are going to perhaps irreparably burn some bridges. So this was seen as problematic for people who are watching this individual's career. But something strange happened recently. People who are members of the Britney Army or the dyed-in-the-wool fans have always been watching this since that time. But now there's renewed interest in this strange situation, this conservatorship that never stopped. And we have to ask ourselves why. Part of the reason, I would argue, is the pandemic gave a lot of people a lot more time, and they were glued to Britney Spears' social media presence, especially while they were in quarantine. For months, this was mysteriously inactive. And then a fan podcast, and we're going to mention their name because they're part of this story, a fan podcast called Britney's Gram released a voicemail message from someone claiming to be an anonymous paralegal with firsthand involvement in the actual Spears conservatorship. And the voicemail raised concerns about Spears' physical, mental well-being and her personal agency or autonomy. So the host of the podcast started speculating, right? Asking valid questions. What's happening to this performer's Instagram? You know, usually it's like a fun slice of life behind the scenes. Look at this cool stuff I'm doing with my two kids. You know what I mean? That's a very wholesome Instagram. But they said, why has it gone dark for a few months? And then she started coming back, dancing around her mansion, posting videos on Instagram as well as TikTok. And people started reading into what she was posting, which for maybe more skeptical people seems pretty innocuous, right? But maybe for other people, there's something deeper there, some kind of code or hidden message. That's why you would see there was one video in July where Britney Spears is dancing to a song from Rihanna called Never Ending. And then if you look at the comments, it's thousands of people who are just writing Free Britney. They're writing about that conspiracy theory. And if you haven't read much about this, then you might think, what the heck's going on with this Rihanna song? Where are these people coming from? This leads us to a rabbit hole of conspiracies and speculation. Some of them, I would argue, are more plausible than others, but it leads us to some disturbing stuff. What are we talking about? We'll tell you. We'll dive all the way into the deep water after a word from our sponsor. Okay, we're back. We hope you had a good break. Sometimes during the break, through the magic of editing, we kick it for a second and just talk to each other. So that's our stuff they don't want you to hear. Anyway, Noel, you brought up something fascinating on the break about this dark period on the Instagram.
Yeah, it's like you said. I mean, and I do want to say, like, I follow Brittany on Instagram, and it's like you said, Ben, very freewheeling, kind of, you know, spirited, dancing, practicing yoga, working out with her, like, personal trainer boyfriend and things like that. And it's, but there's a sense of isolation, even pre-COVID, in it. And it's, you know, clearly a product of this conservatorship. And it's like she's a prison, like the princess, you know, trapped in the tower. But it's her own tower and a tower of her own making. You know, it's sad, but also it's interesting. And she's obviously got everything she needs, and she doesn't openly talk about the conservatorship. She doesn't openly, like, act as though she is in any way under duress. She seems pretty chill and a little bit kind of, you know, goofy and lighthearted, and she's on the beach sometimes and doing these amazing time-lapse yoga videos. But you're right, Ben, when she went dark for that period, I should have looked up the full text. And if you want to listen to that episode, or there's a specific episode of Brittany's Gram that I listen to where they play the voicemail and they talk about this too. When she did go dark, there was she communicates in a way that her fans clearly recognize. She uses very specific emojis. She loves the rose emoji. She has, you know, just like a kind of lexicon of the types of little kind of Britney-isms that she uses on her Instagram. And when she went dark, I believe it was either before or right after or somewhere in there that a response or a post was made that was very clearly not in her voice. Didn't have the same emojis, didn't have the same lighthearted spirit, felt like someone that didn't know enough trying to pose as her. And I believe that 1,000,000%. And there was a discussion that when she was out for this period, that she was once again forcibly committed and forcibly medicated. That's the key.
Yeah, that's the, it's not even an open secret that many celebrities don't actually run their own social media. Still, this, if you read the message, it does have this egregious tone that reminds me of that Steve Buscemi meme. Hello, fellow kids, kind of. And
it is I, Britney Spears. All right. Is well. Please pay me no mind.
And buy the new classics collection, right? Whatever it is. Yeah, so people are understandably weirded out by this. When we love something, I do believe that you can love a thing or a person that you've never met. So people have grown up with this artist and they feel a kinship with them, and it's understandable, and there's nothing wrong with that. So to many people across the planet, this is like seeing one of your heroes or someone you consider a loved one in dire straits. So there's the conspiracy theory we've talked about, that Britney Spears is somehow being held hostage by her father, and that a team of handlers ultimately controls her. A lot of this comes from what appear to be coded responses found in Instagram posts and comments. One Instagram commenter wrote on a Britney Spears post, quote, "Britney, if you're in trouble, wear yellow in your next video." And sure enough, in a video published afterwards, she wore yellow. So now we have a lot of people saying, coincidence? Did this massively successful person really read through hundreds and hundreds of comments?
Yeah, that's pick what I was
that one.
Say. Yeah.
You know, like how much time is there? But you know, for people who believed it, they're like, wow, she's listening. She's trying to tell us something. And you see other examples of this process occurring, like the other commenter who said, please tell us where you are so we can save you. Next video, she's dancing around It's kind of like the Rihanna video, you know, improvised dancing, wholesome
stuff. She
does
a lot of like spin dancing kind of, yeah, almost, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's wholesome, you know, and but the thing is, the song that is playing in the background is Malibu. And so,
wasn't
at
that
least
probably where she lives? That's probably where her home is, certainly.
Right. And also, wouldn't that have all, here's my thing, wouldn't that have also already been common knowledge?
Of course. Of course. Yeah. I mean, every rich person in Hollywood lives in Malibu. Maybe not every, but like, you know, you get to a certain echelon of rich, you probably got a place in Malibu. It's beautiful out there. But the sheriff is a real pill, if you've seen The Big Lebowski. Never mind. And you remember, and probably know this on your own, we talked about how conservatorships are sort of more designed for folks that are genuinely unable to take care of themselves, use the bathroom, get the food and nourishment they need to live. It's like it's a humane act to grant someone a conservatorship so that they don't just die, you know, alone without any care. I mean, and it's something that you would think of with the elderly. And there is, you know, a claim that her father is using this idea that his daughter has early onset dementia. You'll recall early in the episode, we talked about that, how that kind of came up, that she had been tested for that, I believe, in her early 20s. And, you know, dementia would be a case where a conservatorship could be required, but this isn't proven. And there's a lot of screenshotting and, you know, hubbub on Reddit discussing these kinds of things, but we really don't have any proof. And they claim that she's not allowed to leave her home to do any of these things, to go shopping, to buy, you know, stuff for her kids or take her kids to Six Flags, like we mentioned earlier, that she definitely does. And that she has to wear like, or that she has to have her phone calls monitored. There's no evidence to support these things either. But we do know that she doesn't have control over these financial decisions or business decisions. And I would argue that in and of itself is the fishiest part of all of this.
Right. Yeah, you have like if you have $60 million and you want to do so, I have a list of just billionaire pranks that I've shared in the past I think are funny. If you want to do like a prank somewhere and you want to hire a skywriter to go over a metropolis and write something like tacos are just okay, just to weird out people in the city, you should be able to spend that money. If Britney Spears wants to do that under these terms, legally, she has to go to someone and ask them if she can do that, right? Ask them almost for kind of an allowance to do this. If they, if the conservatorship wants to change the setup for investment portfolios, she doesn't control that. She can't really veto that. She can make her voice known if they talk to her about it. But when the rubber hits the road, it's up to them not her. And again, it's all her money.
And the lack of transparency in all of this is also pretty striking. And I believe her attorney has petitioned the courts to, at the very least, make the nature of this conservatorship more transparent, because that's in the best interest of his client, of Britney. And I would completely agree with that. All of the shadowiness behind all of this is what makes it super sketch. And the fact that she has openly, and her father has acknowledged that they do not have a good relationship. He is not a lawyer. He is just a dude. And what right does he have to her, to any of this?
Doesn't have a finance degree.
Doesn't have a finance degree. Doesn't have a law degree. Doesn't have any qualifications other than being her biological father, who she is openly estranged from. And we can get into more of the restraining order stuff in a minute, but like, I'm just fascinated to hear, Ben, what do you think? Like, how do you have that much, you know, bravado that you can make that happen with zero? Like, how do you petition the court for this when you have no claim? She's an adult. She is a legal adult.
I have a fantastic theory about this toward the end.
Okay,
at least it's interesting. So I have decided, I've built this out to like, save that for the end, because the most important part of the show is you folks. We want to hear from you, and I'm sure we'll hear from a lot of people about this. There are other Instagram things. There are things on TikTok as well, right? I believe we both saw the Spears account where there's like a flower, maybe a white rose, with the quote, "She wore flowers in her hair and carried magic secrets in her eyes." That quote comes from a novel called The God of Small Things by Arundhati Roy, and I didn't quite understand this one, Noel. Maybe you can explain it to me. It explores the story, the novel, of these twins laboring underwater called love laws. And these love laws decree how a person can be loved and when, and et cetera, et cetera. I have yet to read The God of Small Things, but some fans seem to interpret this as a metaphor for the men in Britney Spears' life and the, you know, the balancing act of love versus control. I don't know. It feels like a stretch. What do you think?
Yeah, it feels like a stretch in that respect, but I do still feel like it's a good metaphor for being kind of a kept woman. Because, you know, whether you look at this as like she's forced to love a certain person, I don't think that's accurate, but she certainly is not able to be a full human, as is the case if you are forced to love somebody or if you're in an arranged marriage or whatever. And, you know, there's something to be said of the agency that it takes to be able to love who you want. And I think you could maybe apply that same agency to just the agency of being a fully free human. So maybe that's part of it, but you know, we do get a sense that she is able to love who she wants. You know, her boyfriend, 25-year-old, this is from this year, Iranian bodybuilder and trainer named Sam Asghari. You see her kind of a lot. And she appears to lean on him for, you know, everything from working out together. She's always posting about how much she loves him and seems very happy with him. And he seems to certainly be there for her. We don't know a whole lot about how they met. Wait, well, actually, we do kind of. Let's see.
Well, there's a Free Britney claim that says that alleges Jamie Spears has paid various guys to be Britney Spears' boyfriend, but I didn't find hard evidence of that either. I did find previous boyfriends, ex-boyfriends, who said that wasn't true, and they also said Britney Spears has control of her faculties, kind of implying that this has been overblown. But, you know, if people are on TikTok looking at a video of someone dancing with a hat and saying, if you zoom in far enough, you can see one of the fingers holding the hat pointing to a tiny message that may read help. People who believe that aren't going to be persuaded by someone's ex-boyfriend saying something, and certainly not by the father, who is, you know, if it isn't clear already, often the antagonist or portrayed as such in this narrative for reasons I understand.
Yeah, and he's been super open in the media as well about their relationship, and talked to Entertainment Tonight about how he would marry her and that they are genuinely in love.
The
boyfriend, that's right. And they met on a music video shoot for her song Slumber Party, where he played her love interest. And that video has reached 90 million views on YouTube as of earlier this year. But he is 13 years younger than her. Not that that matters. Who cares? It's just a thing. Just in terms of like what we know about him. But that's really about it.
Yeah, I want to. And she's had multiple like boyfriends. She's got a love life. Everybody does. You can read statements from these exes, most of which seem to not really take some of the accusations of the Free Britney movement seriously. But there is one contingent that that people are definitely paying close attention to. As we said in the beginning, this is for some reason a celebrity worshiping society. So any other celebrity commenting on this situation is going to be, for no real objective reason, considered an expert. And that's not a ding on these people. That's just saying, again, this is what happens when society just worships celebrities. Rose McGowan, for example, tremendous actor, had a tribute post on Instagram to a deceased actor named Brittany Murphy, who you'll recognize from multiple films. She caught the attention of the movement because in the caption, if you scroll down to the bottom, she writes, "There's another Britney on my mind today, too. One that is alive, one that can be saved from the leeches that are controlling and trafficking her. Free all the Britneys and all those who get hurt by the trauma of Hollywood values and toxic rules." So people were saying, look, this is in our minds, a lot of people are saying this is confirmation, right, that something really messed up is happening. And other celebrities came forward and said similar things. But as is the wont of this show, we have to – there are some issues you can raise with some of these claims, like why the coy cryptid replies, some of the skeptics in the audience may be asking. If this singer was a multimillionaire, needs help, then why hasn't she made more explicit statements? Why hasn't she come out and said, this conservatorship sucks? Someone rescue me. I'm 38 years old. I should be able to do what I want. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. But I mean, the implication there is what feeds the conspiracy, is that there's something even more nefarious at play that would not allow her to even speak her mind, that she's under duress in some way, or like, you know, under fear for her life or the life of her loved ones. Perhaps one of her children is being held hostage. These are just my like baseless kind of like possibilities. Right. But that would be the implication, wouldn't it? If she can't, she has to do it secretly. So the bad men won't notice, and then maybe someone will come to her rescue. There has to be some leverage over her in order for her not to just like outright go on Instagram to her like millions of followers and say, hey, I am being taken advantage of, or I am being threatened, or I am being this. I mean, the law is on her side, you would think.
Or join me at the courthouse and hold a protest or something, like mobilizing the Brittany army. Yeah, when I was thinking through this, I said I found three possibilities that I would use to respond to that question from skeptics. Those three possibilities would include stuff like someone else is running or curating the social media. And so if she does something too out of pocket, maybe that filter won't allow it to reach the public. And then, like you had just mentioned, a threat over custody or custody of the children or contact with the children, because that'll give you control over a person very, very quickly. Or some cynical observers noted this. They said, well, it's possible that this is just a means of garnering interest and focus from fans, which I find a little too cynical for me. You know what I mean? That feels like a lot to do, because it's an actual court battle. And again, this is an actual human being, which I think a lot of people are forgetting in these stories. But we do have the latest news. A lot of stuff happened as we were coming in to record today. As you said, Jamie Spears had temporarily stepped down from the conservatorship in September 2019 due to health reasons. In the interim, what's called Britney's care manager, one Jody Montgomery, stepped up, and now Jamie Spears is back running the operation against his daughter's explicit wishes. She has repeatedly said, conservatorship is voluntary, but I just don't want this guy running it. I will not do anything. I will not do any work ever again if this guy is still the cat in charge.
That's right. And she's even gone so far as to say that she's afraid of him,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so there was a petition to dissolve that relationship, and the judge overseeing that legal, you know, dispute between her and her father shot it down. So it's going to stand. And I don't understand that. I just don't understand what is it? That's the thing with the transparency. It's like, what entitles him to this position? Why can't they just install another Mr. Wallet, you know,
mm-hmm.
or Mr. Pocket Watch, you know, just some other guy whose job it is to manage people's finances and who potentially would be doing her more of a service by investing better, you know,
like be more objective,
objective, because, you know, I have no qualms saying that I'm pretty sure he is in some way fleecing this estate.
Oh, I've got a Pepe Silvia moment, but okay. So Jamie Spears made some statements on August 1st of this year. The conservatorship renewal hearing was like August 22nd. That's when it was going. That's when they were going to be back in court again for something. He called conspiracy theories surrounding this legal arrangement a joke. And he said, quote, All these conspiracy theorists don't know anything. The world don't have a clue. It's up to the court of California to decide what's best for my daughter. It's no one else's business. He denies he or anybody else is embezzling or skimming money from the estate, saying, this is interesting to me. He says, I have to report every nickel and dime spent to the court every year. How the hell would I steal something? That's very much not a charismatic denial. That sounds like the implication there, purposeful or not, to be fair, the implication there is I can't steal because they're watching me. That's way different from saying, I love my kid, I'm not going to steal from them.
But then you've got the wide swath of like this differential between what the estate's actually worth. I don't know. Surely there's a real number on the books, you know, that the courts are aware of. But
60 is the 60 is the financial statement. But how? Look, the more money you get, the easier it is to hide the money. It's counterintuitive, but that is a truth. That's why things like the Panama Papers are important, because you have the wherewithal to hide stuff. Britney Spears just last month was. Got a small win in court. She was allowed to expand her legal team despite her father's objections. Do you know why he objected in court? He said it would there was too much of a cost to add more lawyers. And still, the court said, okay, look, she's only working with a court-appointed attorney up to this juncture, right? And the other side, her father, is working with people that she is paying, if you think about it, through the conservatorship. That's
She's
messed up.
She's paying for everything.
Right. That's that's what, like when, what is it? Creedence Clearwater Revival guy, John Fogerty?
Fogerty, yeah.
Yeah, that's like when he had to defend himself against plagiarizing himself in court.
It's like I'm my own grandpa territory right there. But no, it's bonkers because she's not even allowed to have to choose her own lawyer.
Wasn't for some time. Yeah.
Okay. So now, okay. And you know, there was some concern, even in 2020, she claimed to have burned down her own gym. But that was because of like a couple of candles that were unattended. So, I mean, I'm sure that was maybe part of the calculus behind not allowing her to be free of this arrangement. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, if you look back through history, society finds the strangest, most arbitrary reasons to persecute women, really. I mean, you don't have to read the yellow wallpaper or a history textbook to know that. I think they are hinging on some stuff. But again, the most frustrating thing about this is we don't know. We don't know the specifics. The arguments for increasing transparency have not been accepted by the court. We're recording this on November 11th, just before we came into the proverbial studio. On November 10th, 2020, an L.A. judge overseeing the conservatorship declined to remove Jamie Spears as the head of the estate. And this is despite all the stuff that Britney Spears' lawyer, Samuel D. Ingram III, was saying. Like, she's afraid of him. She can't work with him in charge. The lawyer called Spears a high-functioning conservatee and said that, just like you said, they've been estranged. And this this judge, Brenda Penny, out of the L.A. Superior Court, said she might consider further petitions for the removal of the father down the road, whatever that is, because that's not an agreement. A lawyer for Britney's mother said some was also there. The mother is not considered, by the way, a member of the conservatorship arrangement, but she's thought of as an interested party, and her lawyer said something that, I don't know, maybe it's hearsay. I don't know. I want to hear what you think. She said that the father, Jamie Spears, had referred to his daughter as, quote, a racehorse who has to be handled like one. Pretty
Jeez
rough.
Louise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes me think of that episode of Black Mirror with Miley Cyrus, where it's like, what is she, like Ashley O? And she's sort of under the thumb of this sort of like wicked stepmother type figure who, you know, only wants her to do the pop stuff, but she's actually secretly like writing all this more brooding kind of like stuff that's more her. I mean, this isn't one-to-one that, but it's certainly the kind of things you think about with like these kept kind of pop stars who become cash cows or prized racehorses for a whole lot of stakeholders. But at the end of the day, like you said at the top of the show, Ben, they are human beings who just want to live their lives and just, you know, be normal. And they're already kind of prevented from living normal lives by how bloody famous they are. And then you have stuff like this to deal with. The idea that she is being subjected to this by her own father. Can you imagine how difficult and traumatic that must feel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is messed up. The latest update is this. As of now, the conservatorship has been extended until February of next year, February of 2021, which I know seems like a long way aways, but it's not really. You know, we're almost at the end of 2020. There's been a new co-conservator appointed. It's an outfit called Bessemer Trust, because the Spears, Britney Spears side, was asking for a qualified corporate fiduciary. They also pointed out that old man Spears does not have financial training. Bessemer Trust is interesting. They're very odd. They date back to the days of Carnegie Steel in a way. So here's my theory, and I'll keep it brief. Now, here's my what-if-ery. So we know that, according to the documents that are available, the father, Jamie Spears, gets about $130,000 each year to oversee the conservatorship. And that according to the documents in the court, that conservatorship is somewhere between $59 and $60 million. That's what they're talking about. But according to the court documents obtained by Entertainment Tonight, there is one expense that is the largest expense of all of the Britney Spears estate. In 2018, that was the fees for her conservatorship and the legal cost maintaining that. In total, those equal more than $1.1 million. So my question is, how much does Andrew Wallet make when he was supervising this? And is it possible, right? Is it possible that Jamie Spears is only making $130K, but this other guy, and it's not an accusation, I'm thinking out loud. Is it possible this other guy and these other legal beagles in the crew were drawing massive amounts of hourly pay or an annual retainer? And then Jamie Spears is getting a piece of that. Is it possible that could happen? That could be totally off the books, because once the money goes to the lawyer, the conservatorship cannot have any visibility on what that lawyer, as a private individual, gets to do with the money they've earned.
Well, it's like one of those construction scams that the mafia runs, right? Where they like charge you a bunch of money for like a chair. Or like some piece of furniture, or they like do all these overages and you hide, you know. Oh, no one says you got to get a good deal on your employees. No one says you have to like, you know, get the cheapest chair or the cheapest like office worker or whatever. Again, these are all just ideas, but I do
think
the
Defense Department.
It's
right?
Very, very interesting. It's very, very interesting, Ben.
The Defense Department, $300 for a hammer. Or a commode seat, whatever. Like, this stuff happens. I love that you're bringing up construction scams, because there's the possibility that this could exist. I'd also like to point out that Jamie Spears attempted to rehire Andrew Wallet after his resignation, but later withdrew that. And Britney Spears was against the guy being rehired because, according to her, she said he was singularly unsuited to the position. And she also said they couldn't hire him back because they were facing hard choices about budgetary constraints. So how much are they paying that dude? And where's that money going?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. There's a lot to consider here. And I don't think we've heard the last of this, man. I really don't. I mean, they're going to keep fighting for it. Fighting for her to be free of it. I don't. Do we have a copy of the ruling? Is that public? Is that public information? Surely it is, right? Like, I mean, don't they have to give a reason? Or maybe they don't really. They just say no, denied. It's like they don't have to give you a reason when your parole is denied. They just say denied.
They don't?
I don't think they have to give you a reason why your parole is denied. I think you make your case and then they just accept it or deny it. I believe they said that she, I believe they said that she could petition it again.
Yes.
In the same way that you can, you know, apply for parole or make a petition to for early release again or whatever. But
yeah,
it's similar to me. And I think it's really messed up that there's no like data pointing to like, what is it about this situation that A, causes it to be your father, and B, that makes this necessary.
Yeah, agreed. This reminds me of a comic book I want to give a shout out to. That friend of the show, Lauren Vogelbaum, introduced me to The Wicked and the Divine. Check it out if you love graphic novels and the dangers of what happens to the people behind the label of celebrity. Primary point remains, celebrities are human beings. Something weird is afoot here. A court has decided to apply something that's generally reserved for the ill or the infirm to a human being, to Britney Spears, who has said, who has been fighting unsuccessfully against various aspects of this, namely her father. So how did a court decide that a conservatorship was necessary? We don't have that information, unless, of course, the court was somehow compromised. But that's very deep conspiracy theory territory. So we want to hear from you. We hope you enjoyed this episode. It's an overall look at what, as Noel said, is a continuing case. We're not going to hear the last of it. It'll probably end up in a strange news segment at some point. But what's your take? Do you think people are reading tea leaves here? Do you think there's much more to this story? And if so, what? Let us know. You can find us on the internet because we're a podcast. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, etc. All the hits.
Yeah, you can find us as a show or we're Conspiracy Stuff or Conspiracy Stuff Show or as individuals. I am on Instagram at How Now Noel Brown. How about you, my friend?
You can find me, should the spirit move you to do so, on Instagram as at Ben Bolin or on Twitter as at Ben Bolin HSW. If you hate social media, you can call us on the phone. We're 1-833-STDWYTK. Literally, all you have to do is let us know if it's okay to use your voice and name on the air. And if you hate doing all of that, we have one more way you can always contact us, our good old-fashioned email address. We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.